Brett, sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Look out, it's only films to be buried with.
Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. My name is Brett Goldstein. I'm a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, a Gallagher brother, and I love film. As Paulo Coelho once said, don't waste your time with explanations. People only hear what they want to hear. Someone could take the time to explain Mulholland Drive to you, but you'd still insist it makes no sense. You have to let it work its magic on you. Why do you keep resisting it? Every week, I invite a special guest over, I tell them they've died, then I get them to discuss their life through the films that meant the most to them. Previous guests include Barry Jenkins, Kevin Smith, Sharon Stone, and even Bled Dambles. But this week, it's the fantastic actor, writer, and director, Mr. Vincent D'Onofrio. Get over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you get an extra 15 minutes of chat with Vincent. He tells me a secret. We talk about beginnings and endings. There's all sorts of things going on. You also get the whole episode uncut, ad-free, and as a video. Check it out over at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. So, Vincent D'Onofrio. So, Vincent D'Onofrio is an amazing actor. You know him from Daredevil and Echo and Law and Order Criminal Intent and from Full Metal Jacket and from being very funny in The Breakup. We'd never met before. We recorded this on Zoom a few days ago. He didn't know the show, so he didn't know the format, but my God, did he get it quick. He was absolutely brilliant. He was so funny, and I really think you're going to love this one. So that is it for now. I very much hope you enjoy episode 283 of Films to be Buried With. Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is I, Brett Goldstein, and I'm joined today by an actor, a writer, a producer, a director, a Full Metal Jacketer, an Ed Wooder, a Men in Blacker, a Law and Orderer, a Daredevil, a Breakupper, a magician, a hero, a legend, a drama, a comedy, the man, he's here. Can you believe it? It's true. It's really him. Please welcome to the show, the brilliant Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Thank you. It's so good to be here.
Very nice to meet you, Vincent. Thank you for doing the show.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Where are you and what are you doing and why?
I'm in my apartment in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, New York.
And are you working on something at the moment that you can tell us about?
I am in deep prep for the new Daredevil series that we're about to start.
Oh, fantastic. Can I ask what it is like to do something I assume you have loved and then there's been a very big gap, right? How do you feel about going back to it? Is it like exciting and emotional or weird or nostalgic or how does it feel?
It's a character that I've played often now. So it's this will be... So the original Daredevil and then Hawkeye and then Echo. So this is the fourth series I've done playing Fisk, which is, it's a strange thing. It's something that I've never done before in my career. I've played the same character in the same series for a long time, but I've never played the same character in four different series for a long time. So it is odd. And with Marvel, you know, they have so many creatives over there that it's like, you know, it's going to be a different writer. It's going to be a different conceptual team and directors. And so, you know, even though it's under the same banner or same umbrella, it's always slightly different. So it keeps you on your toes for sure.
Yeah. Do you feel you've changed, like, how you play it? Has it evolved for you yourself as actor? Or is it something you feel very comfortable you can slip in?
Yeah. I mean, I think it evolves first off. As you know, my job as an actor is to service the story. And so each series has been a different story. They're connected, but they're different for right. the reasons I just said before. Yeah. And so my job is to service that the best I can. And so I try and do that. And then personally, there's certain projects that have a more comfortable tone where I think my character fits better in. And I think that the last series I did, Echo, my character really fits in that kind of adult tone. Mm-hmm. And in the Daredevil series that we're starting now, like the original Daredevil where it all started, it also has an adult kind of tone to it, which yeah. I think my character fits best.
Yeah, because you also did, you have played a character, you did Law and Order, you did for like 9 years, 10 years?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, you commit, you really commit. I also think that you are very underrated as a comic performer. And I think you in The Breakup is one of my favorite comedy performances. I think you're so funny awesome. In that film. And I really love that God. Film. I think that's like a real gem. And you're funny in it. And you're so funny in such an unusual way. Like, it's quite hard to work out. I just remember being like, this guy's fucking funny. I really like you in that film.
Yeah.
Do you like doing comedy?
I do. I do very much. I like physical comedy. I had a blast doing The Breakup. I had a blast doing Men in Black. Like, I do like that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you should be doing more of that. I'm going to have a word. And
good.
I read up, if I may, and forgive me because this might not be true because it's on Wikipedia, but that you're a magician or you...
Oh, I was when I was a kid. Yeah, for sure.
Really? Do you still have these skills?
I have some skills. Yes, I do. They never work on Zoom though.
No.
They work live much better.
Okay. Well, if we ever meet.
But yeah, I do. I do. I know of some really amazing card tricks that were taught to me by other incredible magicians. And I know some, yeah, I know how to do illusions and all of that stuff. I started when I was 13. I started reading books. There was a Cuban family that moved into our neighborhood and down in Florida, this little town that I lived in at the time. It was a little town. Now it's a big place called Hialeah. Yeah. Hialeah, Florida. And this Cuban couple moved into the next to the Winn-Dixie shopping center. And I met them the first day they were open. And I didn't, you know, we were poor, so I didn't have the money to buy tricks, but I befriended the couple and they used to give me instructions and they would lend me the instructions. So I would go build this stuff on my own.
That's so great.
And he turned me on to some books and I read a Houdini book that had the actual workings of the mailbag escape that he did. And so my mother's dream was to have this small little kidney-shaped pool in her backyard, and she finally got it somehow by saving her waitress money. And I practiced with my mom. I had a neighbor who worked for a sailboat company, made me the mailbag, and then my mother was a waitress, and all the cops and firemen used to go to the restaurant. So I had them over and I had Live at Five over, and they handcuffed me and they pushed me into the swimming pool in my backyard. And I escaped successfully. And I was a working magician
when
I was
God.
Like 13. Yeah.
That's fucking serious.
Yeah, I know. I know. But it was my first times. It was my first experience. Those experiences as a young boy were, you know, were obviously the first time I was ever on stage and everything. So
yeah.
It was good for me, yeah.
So you got a load of cops and firefighters around and they watched a 13-year-old boy nearly drown in a garden.
Yeah, just cops though. Just wow. The cops came over and yeah, I forget if it was two or three pairs of handcuffs on me and then put in the mailbag. It pulled with a chain and locked and then pushed me in. But I had, you know, we had made sure that, you know, they knew, they understood that it was not, it's not, wasn't dangerous at all.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. Yeah. Vincent, I forgotten to tell you something. I know we've just met and I should have probably told you at the beginning, but, yeah, I just have to say it. You've died. You're dead. Dead. Sorry.
Okay.
You okay with that?
Yeah.
How did you die?
It's, well, I was on stage,
mm-hmm.
and it's 10 years from now, though.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is wild in itself.
That's fine with me.
I was doing Lear on stage, and I screwed up one of my lines. I couldn't recall a piece of dialogue, and it made me, at first, I just thought I was going to cough, but it wasn't a cough. I think that the idea of not knowing my line for the first time in my career 10 years from now, I think I was too old and too baffled by it. And I just couldn't, I just stopped breathing.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then I had cardiac arrest on the stage.
Wow.
And I got a standing ovation because it was the last act. Yeah. But soon they realized it wasn't part of the play and several women came on stage and carried me off.
Wow. On their, they carry you off on their shoulders? Like Hamlet or something. Oh God, that's beautiful.
Well, like a log. Yeah. I don't think Hamlet was carried off stage. But yeah.
Well, in the Kenneth Branagh film he is, and that's the only thing I've understood, vaguely understood.
No. This wasn't that romantic. This was basically, it was like several women. I think there was like seven of them, I hear, from other dead people.
Were they in the play, these women, or they were just women from the audience?
No, they came up on stage. They were in the front row. They were, it was some kind of women's league or something. Wow. And
an outing for them. God, that's beautiful. Where did they take you? They seemed to know where they were going, these women. Where did they take the body? Just
they took me right down the block to to Actor's Studio.
Oh wow!
Where the birth of my acting began.
Yeah. Wow.
And I'm still there. I'm still there.
They buried you under it, or you're just rotting in the middle of the.
No, they never buried me. They just left me in the garden. I'm in the garden.
Right. So, just sort of slowly getting. Sort of rotting away in the garden of the Actor's Studio.
Yeah, I'm next to Eli Kazan, Lee Strasberg.
Amazing.
Yeah, wow. A lot of people don't know that story. I mean, it is 10 years from now.
No, but I tell you this, when it happens, people will definitely talk about it for quite some time. And I think a lot of... what's also lovely and I think a real sort of gentlemanly thing about your death is I think admissions to the Actor's Studio will go through the roof. I think it'll be a real uptick in applications, and that's because you're there, you know. I think a lot of people will be very excited to learn at your feet.
You mean literally at my feet?
Yeah. I just think they'll be very like, wow, we're so close to greatness, you know. And maybe some of it will rub off on them, you know.
Yeah, but what I'm confused about
is
that, well, I do like the notion of people being at my feet, but since I'm in the garden.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you meaning that they'll be literally at my feet in the garden?
I think, I don't know the layout of the Actor's Studio, but I'm imagining people are going to class, they're walking past the windows, they're looking at your rotting corpse, they're constantly just, their eyes are always drawn to it, they're distracted in class sometimes because they just want to look at you, and then in their breaks and recess, they go downstairs and they sort of just hang around at your feet and just sort of try and breathe it in and hope to sort of pick up some of the magic, you know?
That's so touching.
Yeah.
It's so touching. I actually started to get emotional just now.
I think I'll be honest, I've done this show a while. That's one of my favorite deaths. I think that's very romantic and lovely.
I just have to say that when you see me in the garden, though, I still have the expression of not being able to breathe on my face. So they put a planter close by my face so you can't, it's not a great look. So
there's like foliage around your face.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But my feet were very clean.
Oh, I know. Which was strange. You played Lear barefoot, I remember, but your feet were just pristine. It was a real interesting choice. Like he was going mad, but he kept his feet clean. It was interesting. It was beautiful. And actually the best performance of Lear I'd ever seen. And the best ending.
I think I killed it. Yeah.
Yeah, you fucking killed it. Do you worry about death, Vincent? Is it a thing you concern yourself with?
I worry about that particular death, but
yeah.
No other particular death. I don't like the death of others.
Me too.
That bothers me.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, it sucks. Other things, other people, in that context, death sucks. Yeah. Mm. As far as, you know, me, it's like, you know, 10 years from now, I'll die on doing Lear. It's like, okay. Like, okay, yeah. I get that. I get it. Yeah.
Right.
It'll be all right.
Is there an afterlife in your mind?
There could be more ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, I got a surprise for you. There is a heaven.
What's that?
And you're going to it, and it is filled with ice cream. It is like one giant ice cream parlor. All the flavors.
Oh, my God.
It's got your favorite flavor. What's your favorite flavor?
Rocky Road.
Oh, my God. You ain't seen this much Rocky Road. There's a mountain of Rocky Road. You can eat your way through it. It's Rocky Road everywhere. And other things, flavors you've never tried. Everything's there. Everyone's very excited to see you, Vincent. They're very excited. As you arrive in heaven, they all give you a standing ovation for your Lear. And they're like, we watched from up here. That was...
And hand me like...
They hand you roses and shit.
Well, I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, you got 10 years, so just, you know, make the most of it. But everyone in heaven, so excited to see you. They want to talk to you about your life, but they want to talk about your life through film. And the first thing they ask is, what is the first film you remember seeing, Vincent D'Onofrio?
So we're talking film, not TV show, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So it would have been Tora.
Oh, shit. That has never come up on this.
At the drive-in.
At the drive-in?
Yeah.
Where was that?
In Florida.
Nice.
Toro. I pronounced it wrong at first. I said Tora, which is different.
That's what it was.
Isn't it Toro? Maybe it's Tora.
I thought it was Tora.
Anyway, let's talk about both of those titles as if they're the same film, so nobody's confused.
Who were you with watching Tora in the car?
There was three people, Tora, and Toro.
Right, yeah.
Great film.
Who was your favorite?
Tora.
Yeah, good choice. Has to be. Some people, I also think that's like a thing that's changed with time, because it used to be Tora that was everyone's favorite. And I think it's kind of like the changing sort of political landscape, you know what I mean?
Well, you know how like sometimes you make a choice too quickly,
mm-hmm.
and then you realize that, you know what, I felt rushed. So initially I was attracted to Tora.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I realized that Tora was more interesting and that Tora, the other Tora, had no significance whatsoever. So the Tora that I liked was just I think I was rushed into it. I think Tora took over. And
yeah. Well, the other Tora, sadly, is like, no matter what age you are, that Tora is not interesting. You know what I mean? Like, like the other two, it was like, I think the first Tora you're like, yeah, sort of dazzled by. But as you sort of revisit it, you realize there's more depth to the other Tora, but the other Tora is like sort of dead weight.
Yeah, I don't even know why they're there. Could be Tora.
Yeah.
It would have worked. Tora would have worked.
And it would have been tighter, you know what I mean, the whole thing. Because the film is constantly trying to accommodate Tora, and you're like, we don't need Tora.
Yeah, I think they went way too far. And then, you know, there's Toro. Those three, I loved all three of those.
Flawless. Toro. I defy anyone to pick a favorite, because they're just wonderful in their own ways, you know, equally.
Yeah, in similar ways.
Yeah, in their own unique and identical ways.
Yeah.
So that's a good first film. Did it make you want to be in films, or you just wanted to kiss all the Toros?
Well, it made me want to be Japanese and attack America.
Right.
And I think that started my imagination really going. And I think I just eventually saw Lawrence of Arabia, and I realized it's not all about being Japanese.
Mm. Sometimes it's about being English.
That it's mostly about being English with blue eyes and blonde hair.
Yeah, riding camels.
And I even knowing that, watching that film when I was a young man, Lawrence of Arabia,
yeah,
the David Lean movie, watching it, I knew that one day it wouldn't be politically correct anymore.
Mm.
I used to think a lot about that kind of stuff when I was an adolescent.
Yeah. What is the film that scared you the most? Do you like being scared, Vincent?
I do like being scared.
Yeah.
The Other. Do you know that film, The Other?
Not the other singular. Tell me.
Now, that confused me just then. The Other singular.
Well, I know The Others. The Others, which maybe is the sequel to The Other.
No. The Other.
Okay. Tell me about The Other.
It's about two blonde, I think, German boys or Austrian boys. on a Farm.
I don't know that film.
It was made in the early 70s, I believe. That was a very scary movie. Super scary. Yeah.
What happens in it? What do these boys do?
Well, you never really know if there's one or two of them.
Oh, God.
Like, it's either one really fucked up kid.
Right.
Or it's two kind of screwed up guys.
Right.
So it's just really scary. And you know, like, there's one who's kind of normal, and then there's one who's like the bad seed.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him not liking, I want to say it was his mom. I hope it wasn't his mom. Somebody, he put a pitchfork in the bale of hay in the barn because he knew that she used to go up there and fool around with some guy. And they would jump into the bale of hay when they were done, after they finished their deal in the loft space of the barn. And they jump into, so the pitchfork was propped up underneath the hay so that when,
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And that was either done by one or both of them.
Either one really fucked up kid or two slightly fucked up kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus. That does sound really scary, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. And it had, I don't know, like that had a huge effect on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it change the way you were in barns?
Well, it changed the way I jump out of lofts into hay.
Mm, for sure. Yeah, you don't forget that lesson. Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree, or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term program. That's right! They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre, and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia, and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu. Thanks, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
What about crying? What's the film that made you cry the most?
Old Yeller.
You're only human. Fucking hell.
I know, right? Such awful. A fucked up ending. Why would they end a movie like that? I just can't believe that they would end a movie like that.
Films like that, I do. Yeah, I go, who is this for?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Why does this have to happen?
And, you know, and to sell it to dog lovers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, it's a film about Old Yeller, you know, all you dog lovers.
Yeah.
You know? And then fucking hell, the way it ends is so brutal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, wow. Okay. Yeah.
You know, sometimes you read these things where they say like, oh, but these things teach kids about death and it's good for them to learn about death. My friend said once when her dad died, she said to me, I realize now that Bambi and all these kids' films where the dad died did in no way help me. Like, at no point was she like, oh, thank God I saw Old Yeller. I'm fine about my dog dying. These don't help.
No, but it does make the point maybe they should make more movies about dads dying.
Yes. I feel like there's quite a few, though. I feel like I've seen a lot and I still don't love the idea. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to think of the last movie I saw where the dad died.
There's a dad dying genre, surely.
Well, yeah.
Maybe you're right. Maybe they've stopped killing dads in films.
Well, I think that's probably why she was so affected by her dad's death.
Yeah, right. We need to sort of get back to making dead dad films.
Yeah.
Well, we've got some work to do, that's for sure. What is the film that you love unconditionally, but critically it is not acclaimed? Most people think it's shit, but you think they're idiots.
Wow, that's a really tough one. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Do people like Tremors?
It's fucking great, Tremors.
Yeah, so that can't be one.
I think people do like it, but I know why you've picked it, and if you want, I will allow it because it looks like a film that's not good, but it's really good.
But it's really good, yeah.
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 There's now 300 Tremors films and a TV series.
And Kevin Bacon's in it.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
What about the other side of it? A film that you used to love, but you've seen recently and you think, I don't like this anymore.
I hate when that happens. It does happen though, you know.
It's a bummer.
Some films just don't hold up. I saw Arthur, and Arthur is still, half of it is still really, really funny. And then you're just waiting for it to be over. But it's really him, Dudley Moore, that keeps you going for half of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. I imagine that's very dated. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah.
Here's one for you. What's the film that means the most to you? The film itself might not be any good, but the experience you had seeing the film will always make it special to you. E.g., a first date.
Wait, just hang on a second. So you got very excited when you said that last thing. You sat up, you projected a little bit more. It was like tickets for Oliver. You know, like you were screaming, selling tickets on the West End or something.
Yeah.
Tickets for Oliver.
Yeah.
Tickets for Oliver.
Yeah.
You know.
It had that.
So what was the question? What was the question?
You got distracted by the vibe. The sort of.
I was just so like, wow, I got to get a ticket for Oliver. Yeah.
Right. Well, the question is, what's the film that means the most to you because of the experience you had seeing the film? E.g., first date with a loved one.
Midnight Cowboy.
Go on. For why?
I had never seen anything that honest and raw before. Nice. And there was all this stuff that where I was living in New York as a young actor at the time. And even though it was made by an English director, British director, you could smell New York in that movie. Mm. And I was at the right age. I was in the right place in New York, starving, you know, like all the other artists, like sleeping in Central Park with my legs wrapped around my 10 speed so nobody would steal it some nights, you know, like stuff like that. And it had like these incredible performances, and it had this kind of this world of 42nd Street, that area, how it used to be back then. Now it's sort of like a kind of dirty Disneyland, but it's back then it was like literally like it is in Midnight Cowboy. And the homosexuality in it was the first time I had seen that in a movie. And that was a big deal for me. Like, I'm like, oh my God, you can get this raw in a movie. You can get this real in a movie. You can be an actor and play parts like this. Mm. You know, it's like, that was, that's why.
That's a pretty great answer. I mean, yeah. Perfect.
I matched your excitement.
Yeah, you did. You know what? I was like, he's selling tickets for 42nd Street. I was like, oh shit, here we go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm buying one for the whole the women's committee just in case he drops dead in it and they can
a row for the women's league.
Yeah.
The whole row.
I bought all of them. They're very excited. What is the film you most relate to? Is there a film you relate to?
Yeah, of course. Wow. I think Sound of Music.
Which character? Maria?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you're an inspiration.
No, we just have the same octave in our voices. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't know, you know, I want to be surrounded by Austrians in little outfits.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on.
Yeah, it does look fun.
You know what I mean, though? Like,
yeah.
And to have some guy in the house named Baron something, von Stryker or something like that, like something bizarre, something inviting, though, but bizarre. Yeah. And just, you know, run around in the fucking Green Hills and yodel and shit.
Mm.
The little outfit with the, you know, the suspenders and stuff.
Yeah. And you want to live you want to live with a guy who's like warm, but he also has a whistle. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's all fun and games, but I do have a whistle and I will use it. And that's dinner time.
Yeah. And you know, like Midnight Cowboy, I can smell that house.
Yeah. It's the realism of that film is astonishing, I think. Yeah, it does feel
like you feel like you're there in the little outfits, and
and you're like
it's just singing your ass off in the hills. Mm-hmm. You know, the hills are alive, by the way.
Oh, and they're terrifying. But also, every time you're saying good night, you never say good night. You sing it. You know, it's time for bed, time for a song. That's always felt. Well, it's like a documentary, isn't it? I can see how you feel about that. It's a lovely answer.
Yeah, and you don't have to be. Look, I just have one more thing to say about this.
Please, there's no rush.
In the context of the answer to your question. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to be scared about the hills being alive, because it looked like you were scared for a moment. So listen to my words. The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Oh, okay. I thought they had like cannibal creatures in them. Eyes. The hills had eyes and they were going to like eat us, but that's not what's living in them.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Okay. I feel better about it. Sorry, I freaked out.
Yeah.
That's on me. What's the sexiest film you've ever seen, Vincent?
The sexiest film I've ever seen. That's a really good question.
Thanks, man.
I mean, I know a lot of people think this, but Paddington Bear 2?
Oh, 2. I knew everyone felt that way about the first one.
No.
What about the sequel?
Well, I mean, you either know or you don't know, I guess. But
yeah, do you know what? I think it's because I was so spent after the first one. I didn't think it could get sexier, but you're probably right. Yeah. It's one of the few sexy sequels that's more sexy.
Well, if you ever do it, if you ever watch both of them again, hydrate after the first one.
Yeah. You really have to be prepared for that's a slog if you're doing that, if you're going in a double bill.
You know, there's also sea moss. You know that, right? You can get jars of sea moss.
Right.
It comes in like a gel. Okay. Like in a jar, just so that you're not spent for the second one.
Oh, right. You just put it on you.
No. You put it in your morning drink.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You just mix it in with a teaspoon.
Okay.
And it stays. It's really good to not I don't know, without getting too specific, to not be spent.
I'm gonna order some online now. There's a subcategory to this question. I don't know how you'll take it because I feel like you've gone hard on the first. The subcategory is troubling boners, worrying wide-ons, which is a film you found arousing that you weren't sure that you should have. But I don't know how you feel about that, because you're, you know, proud of Paddington 2, as you should be. So I don't know what your shameful one is.
Oh, shameful one. That's tough. It's tough to get shamed by a film.
I mean, if all your boners are proud, I respect that. You know, not everyone can answer this question. Some people don't have troubling boners. They're all good, you know.
Yeah. I'm not ashamed of my favorite movie being Sound of Music or my sexiest movie being Paddington Bear 2.
Respect.
Like, I'm not ashamed at all.
No, you shouldn't be. I think that's great. What is the film that you could or have watched the most over and over again? I gave you a bit too much energy. I don't know if you listened, because sometimes you freak out when I lean forward.
You did. Every time you do that,
Sorry.
Yeah, it gets me a little overwhelmed.
You need some sea moss.
I watch Paddington Bear 2 way too often.
Yeah.
I watch it way too often.
Okay.
I watch Paddington Bear 2 way too often.
Yeah. This is a fucking perfect film. You know, I can't argue with it. What about the worst film? What's the worst film you've ever seen?
Oh my gosh. Like from the get-go, from the first time I saw it. Yeah. There was one, I can't remember the title, but it was about Citizen Band radios and trucks in like big 18-wheelers. It was called like, you know, some name that had to do with talking in one of those things when you said goodbye or something, like 10-4, not 10-4, but right, like buddy. Yeah, like a good buddy, you know, like something. I don't think that was the name of the film, but it would be a good title.
That's a great
good
title.
Buddy. Just good buddy. That would be a good title.
Good buddy could be one of our dead dad films that we make.
Yeah.
Because it sort of misleads you in the same way, like Old Yeller, that'll be fine. And with good buddy, that'll be fine. No, the dad dies.
Right. That's not so good.
Yeah. Not so good, buddy. That's it at the end.
Yeah.
We tricked you.
Yeah. I tried to tell you, good buddy.
I tried to warn you, good buddy. Also, good buddy means over and out, over and out.
Yeah, I'm not sure it does, but yeah.
I think it does.
Over and out would be, what happened to dad, over and out.
Yeah, but
good buddy.
We all know what good buddy means. So
there is something sweet about it, though. You have to admit, like, you could just say buddy, but instead you'd like put the good in front of there.
Yeah.
It's smart. It's smart writing.
Thank you. What is the funniest? What's the film that made you laugh the most?
The first half of Arthur.
Yeah. I don't remember. In the second half, does he, it's not a film where he learns not to drink, right? He doesn't learn that he's an alcoholic and he has to stop drinking.
And he never learns anything. And the funniest thing about the movie is that he never learns a thing. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
And that money is everything. That's the funniest thing about the movie. Yeah, he actually says that, yeah. That having Liza Minnelli, Minnella is like a poisoning, right? Minnella poisoning or something like that?
I think it's just an envelope, isn't it? It's a type of envelope.
Oh, like a Minnella envelope. Yeah, I think I'm saying it wrong. Anyway, none of what we just said has anything to do with Liza Minnelli.
No. Who is it, Arthur?
So if you have Liza Minnelli in your life and you have a lot of money, that's the moral to that story. Life is good, buddy. Mm. Yeah.
Life is good, buddy.
Life is good, buddy.
Life is good, buddy.
Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree, or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term program. That's right! They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre, and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia, and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu.
Thanks, Maureen.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. Symbiotica.com.
Vincent.
Sir.
You know, what a time. What a time we've had. You've been wonderful. And you wouldn't know for a second that you had no idea what this show was. However, in 10 years' time, when you played King Lear, barefoot, you were on stage. I was sat behind the seven women's league who were in the front row. And they were like this, the whole play, they were wrapped, really wrapped. They're just really in it, but there was a sense in them. I sensed that there was like something was about to happen. They were ready, like they were ready to stand. You know what I mean? Like it felt like they knew.
They knew. Oh my god!
I don't know how. And basically, you were like, "What's my line?" In your head, you were like, "What's my line? What's my line? What's my line?" And it was very powerful. What it looked like was Lear is confused. You know, he's really confused. And then your heart started racing, and then it exploded, and you collapsed onto the stage. Everyone stood up, everyone, like, wow, that was, what a choice, they thought, what a choice, because it wasn't the end. What a choice, that is a bold choice. And then the clapping sort of died down a bit, and you didn't move, and then a sort of whisper went around, like, is he dead? And then the women's league were like, that's our cue. And they stood up as one. It was very sort of beautiful, like almost felt choreographed, and they stepped on the stage, and they lifted you onto their shoulders, and they just walked off stage and people clapped. And I followed behind because it was so beautiful. And we walked through the night and it was snowing. It was beautiful. And they walked through the actor's studio. Everyone went, oh, bloody hell. there's Vincent's corpse, and then they just put you in the garden, and there you lay to this day, rotting away, and students come from far away just to stand near your clean, rotted feet. And I came to visit one day, as, you know, pay my respects, and I realized, oh, if you're rotting here, we have to give you a DVD to take across to the other side, because on the other side, it's movie night every night. So what film are you going to take to show the Rocky Road ice creams in heaven when it is your movie night, Vincent D'Onofrio?
10-4, good buddy.
10-4, good buddy.
Whatever that film was called.
Okay, that's beautiful. Vincent, is there anything you would like to tell people to watch or to look out for with you or to listen to?
Well, Daredevil's coming out. We got to shoot it first and it'll come out.
Okay.
There's lots of things that I can't talk about, but yeah, there's things coming.
Okay.
Cool stuff.
Vincent, you've been an absolute joy and a delight. Thank you for your time. I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I have.
I have thoroughly enjoyed it. Thoroughly.
Thank you, Vincent. Have a wonderful life. I look forward to your Leah. Good day to you, sir.
Thank you very much.
So that was episode 283. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein for the extra 15 minutes of chat, secrets and video with Vincent. If you're in America, have a look up my stand-up dates. I'm still doing a tour. Goes on for a few more months. I'm probably coming to your city if you live in a city. Come and see the show. We'll have a right old time. Go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. But don't give us a review. I don't want to know what you think of the podcast. I want to read what film means the most to you and why. It's a lovely thing to read. My neighbour Maureen loves it and it always makes her cry. And she always says, you've got to read this one. Thanks so much to Vincent D'Onofrio. He was so good. Watch all his shows. Watch all his films. Thanks to Scroobius Bip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Buddy Peace for producing it. Thanks to iHeartMedia and Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics. Lisa Lydon for the photography. Come and join me next week for another cracking guest. Thank you all for listening. I really hope you're all well. That is it for now. Have a lovely week. And in the meantime, please, now more than ever, be excellent to each other.
Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you, Maureen.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant.
Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my name is Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.